Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. Joined once again by the one and only Mike Wall. You can find him on MikeWall68 on Twitter and all across social media, of course, Process to Perform as well. Mike, great having you back. 2-0 over the last 2 weeks with Malik Willis at quarterback. Great to be chatting with you. How the heck are you doing?
You know, Andy, I'm glad you asked because I just used Axe body wash for the first time, and I'm feeling pretty goddamn confident.
That's amazing. We were just talking offline. Confidence can be a very huge thing. And I'm glad to hear. I didn't know what direction that was going to go in. We don't have Axe as a sponsor or anything, so you can say anything you want. But
okay, no. You want me to tell the truth?
Sure. Yes.
It smells awful. I couldn't believe it. My son has it, and it's the worst. My nostrils were inflamed for like 3 minutes. I think you could see my face is redder than usual. I think it attacked me.
Yes, I'm not an expert.
I still got that confidence, Andy, because we had that talk.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. We're in the right frame of mind. But yeah, I can't use it either. There's something too powerful, potent about it. I don't know. It's just everything seems a little bit off once you get that potent smell going. So hopefully it won't affect us too much during the course of the day. I know confidence, like we said offline, can be a very huge thing. So I know you bring your A game no matter what. Let's start with Packers Titans, a fun game. You never know what to expect when you've got a backup quarterback going into a game like that. We obviously had a great discussion on it last week, but your kind of key takeaways from how Green Bay was able to not only escape with a win and maybe get a snatch and steal sort of victory. They went in and beat Tennessee pretty thoroughly.
Yeah, they sure did. And you know, obviously after the first drive, Tennessee didn't really have a successful day on from an offensive perspective. But you've got to be – I go back to it like, you know, when Matt LaFleur first got here, it was Aaron Rodgers' offense, and then it was Aaron's and Matt's, and kind of the transition over. And now, I mean, they ran for 180-some yards, like 30-some carries again, and they still couldn't run the ball. Like, traditional running of the football, they couldn't do. Like, their offensive line couldn't move Justin Simmons and company. They didn't, but they did. You know, we talked about it on the show last week. One of my preview things was, like, you got to attack these linebackers. Their eye discipline's poor. They trigger too fast. And, like, man, Matt LaFleur just took advantage of those guys over and over. You love what they're doing by just figuring out how to get yards on the ground. And just, you know, Malik Willis is a backup quarterback, so it's okay to go rush for 73 yards, like six carries, 73 yards. Like, he's had good numbers in the passing game, but you don't maybe want your non-Lamar Jackson starting guy to run that much. But, like, backup QB, new system, like, God, is he playing really well. I think the thing that's becoming obvious in this offense is, one, like, Jaden Reed is a real problem for defenses to figure out how to call. We talked about that last week. Josh Jacobs is really good. He didn't have a great day, but it's really because of the blocking up front and all the holding penalties, all the nonsense. And then this defense, like, there was a play where Carl Brown chased down a guy on third and long and made it fourth and one, and then Quay McDuffie made the play. And you're like, that's really all we wanted.
Yep.
Yeah, if you're a fan, if you're in their locker room, you just want guys playing hard all the time. And, like, between Carl, between Devontae, between God, Enagbare, I mean,
so good.
You got a goddamn I love football moment out of me, because I would, like, you'd love to see dudes on ice skates. Like, you put that right tackle. I mean, what a disaster. Yeah. So just a really, really fun game to watch overall. You, as much as they have to work on, especially defensively, like, you just can't argue with the intensity.
I want to talk about a lot of those defensive linemen today, because I think there's a lot of fun conversations to have come out of this. Before we get there, you mentioned about the running game, how they were obviously able to get some unique things going to get some of that rushing average up when traditional run game wasn't working in that one. I'm curious to your thoughts, because as it started to progress through early in the game, it almost felt like they were running too much at Sweat and Simmons, and almost to a point of stubbornness. But I also understand you can't just do all the other stuff if you're not at least having any sort of threat of running on the inside either. Like, where do you come down of, like, is it a necessary evil that, hey, even if it's not working, we've got to throw a couple plays in there just to run at the strength no matter what? Or did they almost get too stubborn and run in there a little bit too much? Like, where's the balance there?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's something that offensive coordinators kind of struggle with all the time. Obviously, an offensive lineman, you always think you're going to get yards. Justin Simmons threatened to, or invited them to run into the teeth of their defense last week because he knows that, this is not insulting anybody. Justin Simmons is better than anybody we have on the offensive line. Like, yeah. He's an all-pro player. So he has every kind of right to say that. And you saw what he did a couple times, particularly to the right guard. The thing that is important to understand is the defense has a game plan that they're trying to execute. And what you want to do is keep them off balance. And what you want to do is not allow them to summarily make like a wholesale structural change during the game, because you've gone away from something. So like, we don't have to bring the safety in the box. We can run cover. We can do all these different things that we maybe want to do, but we can't because we're worried about Josh Jacobs. And what that does is that allows, they put Bo Melton back there. They put Jaden Reed back there. They've run other motions everywhere. All of a sudden you run the trips look, and they have to bring the safety down. The safety on the backside doesn't account for the fact that there's four guys on one side, two on the other. And you're going, okay, I guess I'll throw it to our fastest guy. There's like all these things that happen because the game plan is, we have a backup quarterback, we got to stop the run. And so you want to keep him in those defenses because it opens up everything else.
No.
Like, in other words, let me say it this way, Andy, like, Jordan Love's not getting that defense.
Yeah, because he's going to throw against it.
Right.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I think they had to keep, continue doing it. And we did see in the fourth quarter some of that stuff on the interior open up a little bit more. I think it paid off overall, but it's always interesting, especially in some of the red zone runs where they're running inside. It's like, man, it's going to be tough doing it, but I thought they held true to their plan. They made Tennessee account for it still, and I think it paid dividends through the course of the game. I want to go back to the defensive side of the ball, specifically with some of these frontline players that you were kind of mentioning. I want to start with Rashawn Gary because the box score will show you had 8 sacks in a game, and he doesn't have one of them. And people are saying, all right, he's supposed to be the guy in this defensive front. He gets matched up with Nicholas Petit-Frere, who got benched in this game. Not a great starting right tackle. You see Kingsley and Igbari have the great success against him, and you're starting to think, all right, well, where is Rashawn in this one? And he has not had a huge, massive impact through 3 weeks. We also saw he had the sack on the play that Preston Smith wiped out on the offsides penalty, neutral zone infraction. And then he is the one that is pressuring on the play where LVN gets the sack. Exactly. Yeah. And a couple other plays where he was just maybe a millisecond after a couple other guys got there just quickly before him, where they got credit for the sack and he didn't. I thought Rashawn still had a nice game in this one. Yeah. I can also understand the sentiment of, hey, we need to see this guy maybe put a little bit more production out there through 3 weeks.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know if anybody in the building's saying that.
Agreed.
So here's the thing about Rashawn, and it's not a knock. It's just a fact of life. He is a linear player. Like, he doesn't have wiggle. So what he does, I've said this for years with him, and I'm glad that he's in a 3-point sometimes now. But when you saw the effectiveness of his sack that was overturned, when you see the effectiveness of the pressure that led to the Lucas Van Ness sack over the top, what are we looking at? Well, we're looking at a guy who's getting upfield and then collapsing pockets with using leverage and strength, because that's really his only consistent go-to move.
Yep.
Too often he tries to go over the top and he doesn't have the wiggle that an Igbari does to force a guy to overset and go underneath. And this was always a problem, especially when he's in a 2-point stance. He doesn't have an explosive first step out of a 2-point stance. So like a right tackle isn't really worried about getting to your spot. And as just, kind of really, really, basic level stuff with football and offensive tackles versus defensive ends. If I'm an offensive tackle and I get to my spot, I'm going to win like 95% of the time.
Yeah.
So if I don't have to worry about that and all I have is like run over the top, try to bend it, all that, like, he's not a natural bender and he's not a really shifty guy. He's a very, very strong core athlete that has great leverage.
Yep.
Has like, long wingspan, arms, the whole thing. But he's not like a Von Miller type. He's more like a Bosa type, like a Nick Bosa type, quite frankly. But he doesn't want to play that way. Like, he has that build, but he doesn't want to play that way. So
yep.
I think that's the frustrating part with Gary. Now the good side of it is you see him get tackles for loss, collapsing down the tight ends. You can see him collapsing down the tackles on backside runs. So like, he continues to contribute to the game. He's a real pro. He's a real leader, and he's a very, very hard worker. the sacks are going to come, but I do think that much in like Lucas Van Ness, like these guys aren't natural winners at the point of attack in the passing game. And so a lot of this stuff is going to come from maybe, you know, Devontae Wyatt becomes one of the premier pass rushers. Carl Brown steps up. Inibari had a great day, and you can just see him kind of, especially when you beat that center inside, or when Preston goes inside and beats the center, you start going, all right, now we're talking about some different ways to utilize guys in the old Justin Tuck method. If you can't beat them outside, move them inside and beat guys like me, where maybe we have some more success or we create some more pass rush opportunities.
Yeah, I think so too. And I do think he's done a little bit of a better job through 3 weeks this year of not getting quite so speed rushy and just kind of moved around the edge. And he does seem to be converting speed to power and, you know, kind of bull rushing a little bit more, which I think is usually, like you said, when he's at his best. So I had no issue. I thought he had a really nice game this past week, made an impact. It just didn't show up on the box score. We go back to those first 2 weeks, they were really focused on containing the quarterback in those 2 weeks. And I thought he quote unquote did his job in those two games. So I think he's playing good football, and I don't have any issue with the way that he has played through 3 weeks so far.
Agreed.
Let's go to defensive tackle. I want to talk about Kenny Clark. I feel as like, you know, he's not maybe had the same usual Kenny Clark impact that we've sort of come to expect. Does mm-hmm. seem like he maybe through the course of the last few years has been maybe a little bit more of a slow starter and then kind of gets going as the course of the season goes along. He was pretty transparent in the offseason about how this is a new system for him. What have you seen from Kenny these first few weeks, and what does maybe he need to do to be a little bit more impactful?
So I talked about this in the offseason. I would have loved, and I think Kenny Clark, like, listen, we're from the same area. Like, I love the guy. I love the way he plays. I love everything about him.
Yep.
He's just such a good pro. I would have loved to have seen this guy as a three technique from the jump on day one, like penetrating three technique, give him a chance to shine, because he's got the quicks. He's got the rotational ability, and he's a total package, but he doesn't have that mindset. And you see now where he gets to penetrate, and which, I mean, it's not like he hasn't penetrated before, but this becomes like a primary component of what you do at that position. And you can see that sometimes it's more about getting a yard or 2 yards upfield than like staying in your lane. We talked about it a little bit last week, I think. So for me, being in a new system is difficult when you've played in one for so long or played a certain style for so long. That's true. There's a skill set that is underdeveloped, quite frankly, just from a pass rush standpoint. Like he's never been known as a pass rush, but even when I think last year, maybe got 7 or 8 sacks, he's not ever really considered a pass rush specialist. Like I'm not circling him on my calendar. Like, oh man, I wonder what's going to happen when I play him. So because of that, and now he's in what year, is it year 8?
You know, somewhere in there, yeah.
Something like that. So you're kind of, I don't want to say you're reinventing yourself, because it's not like he's an old man or anything like that, but you're changing this mindset of I've done this for a certain way and it's super effective, but in this defense, I have the opportunity to shine. Now, how am I going to best take advantage of that? And just maybe with him, it's going to take some time.
And I think so too. And I have no like concern over, I think he's going to be a really good player. I think he's going to be somebody that starts to pick up this defense as time goes along. Like I said, he's been a little bit of a slow starter these past couple of years as well. He gets his Garrett Bradbury matchup this week, which has been one of his favorite matchups through the course of his career. So I'm hopeful that
Ed Ingram too, man. Ed Ingram's let's go.
Yeah. I think he's going to be ready for this game. I think we'll see Kenny have his best game of the season this upcoming week. On the other defensive tackle, Devontae Wyatt, a couple sacks this week. He's consistently getting in the backfield. Yeah. This scheme seems to be exactly what he was made for, and it does seem like it's unlocking him a little bit more. Week 3 is officially in the books. Green Bay has moved to 2-1 on the season. Malik Willis has been beyond unbelievable. Jordan Love is making his way back, and all is right in the football world. Now we get set to head into week 4. It's a huge division rivalry game, and it's another great opportunity to do some winning with Prize Picks. Now, we are wrapping up September, so you are running out of time to take advantage of the current promotion. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right, only 1 yard gets you an automatic win. And listen, it has not been pretty for Caleb Williams so far, but I still like the opportunity of Caleb Williams getting 1 yard this coming week. And of course, with Prize Picks, you can win 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. And Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves the game in the first half and doesn't return, your picks stay alive. Now, I don't need to tell you that I'll be going with Caleb Williams again, but I'm also going to be going with Jaden Reed in week four. He's going to have a big game against this stellar Minnesota defense. But whoever you choose, the best part is that you can download the PrizePicks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on PrizePicks for a first deposit match up to $100. So what are you waiting for? Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with PrizePicks.
Yeah, this again, I think a lot of, all but maybe three players on your team are system players, meaning that they're going to thrive in one system far more than others.
Yeah.
And I think Devontae, this system, fits his skill set more. But when you watch Devontae with, you know, like an offensive lineman's eye, what stands out to me is he plays with a lot better leverage than he used to. So he's always been quick off the jump. He's better with his hands than he used to. His second effort is much better working hands off. He did it against, I think, was that Skoronski that was playing left guard?
Yep.
Boy, yep. He got beat up. Oh, yeah, my Lord. I mean, the uncle was a Packer or something like that, right? But boy, that was a rough game. I mean, I'm a fan of his, but that was a rough game. But, you know, with the initial punch, usually it's like you punch and he's done. Now he's punching, he's working those hands off, coming back inside. He's finding some ways. He's getting upfield a little bit more and chasing angles. Like, this just does seem to fit him more. But here's the biggest thing, and this is a really credit to Kenny Clark and company and, you know, TJ and all those guys in that room. He's playing hard.
Yeah.
He didn't always play hard. And there was a play early in the game where, like, he chased down a guy, you know, he had to run like 10, 12 yards and chase a running back down for a 2-yard gain or something like that. And I was like, I had to rewind it. And I'm like, was that 95? That was awesome.
There's,
you know,
there's like, a play too where he – it ends up being, I want to say, like a 10, 15 yard run, but he's chasing it down all the way from behind. He doesn't get there, but like, you go and you watch and Wyatt's 15 yards downfield chasing after this play. I agree with you 1,000,000%.
So that's like, so to talk about how guys are successful in the National Football League, like the truth of it, everybody talks about talent. Like Nick Bosa is talented. He works harder than everybody else too.
Yeah.
Joey works harder than everybody else. Like, there's a reason that the guys are good. And so you can get – this is the absolute truth, man. If you've got a fraction of talent at the defensive tackle or defensive end position and you just play hard, you're going to get some decent numbers. Yeah. If you play hard every snap, because, like, you know, half the guys in the league are holding the ball too long now. There's too many jump cuts in the backfield. Like, you're going to think good things are going to happen. I mean, look at Fannes, man. Like, good things are going to happen to you. So – if he plays hard like that with his skill set, you know, I think I said it in my show, you know, if he plays like that, there's going to be some zeros added to that contract for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely, I think, proving, you know, again, why he was a first round pick. I think he's coming into his own. The scheme is working well, playing with better leverage, better hustle, and that's going to result in bigger numbers. And I think we're seeing that so far through 3 weeks. And not just a number, who cares about numbers, a bigger impact on the field, mm-hmm. which is far more important. Sure. And then you mentioned LVN, that's the other one. I think he's working extremely hard. I like the way he's playing. He's right in that 18 to 22 snaps per week. Actually, I really love too, and I talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, of how I think Rashawn's in the 30s for snaps, Preston and Igbari and LVN are right around the 20s. Kenny's, I think, in the 30s. You've got Wyatt. Like, all these guys are playing between 20 and 30 snaps, which is, fresh. I think, conducive to these guys playing hard and with energy and hustling plays down. Like, that, I love the numbers where these guys are at from a snap count standpoint.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. A lot of guys don't feel comfortable with the depth to do that. You know, usually there's kind of a waves of when you play your second team, when you hit the, you know, 40-yard line and you bring them back, you kick them out when you hit the 40 going the other way because you want to keep out of field goal range. So there was always kind of tried and true ways to run that from a defensive coordinator standpoint. But, you know, when you have – I mean, listen, Lucas Van Ness is always going to get – I don't want to minimize his, like, value or anything, but, like, when you're a first-round pick, you're going to get snaps, yeah. right, regardless. He plays extremely hard. And Igbari is earning extra snaps. You know, like, T.J. Slayton's going to earn snaps. Wyatt's earning snaps. Kenny's earning the snaps that he's getting right now as well. Preston, you know, so, like, it makes sense. Like, you don't, like, last year you'd look at, like, Igbari and you go, I don't know, man. Like, you know, he's a liability too. But this year it doesn't feel that way at all. You know, quite the contrary. He's making a lot of plays in the backfield. How do I say this? Aaron Campman is an Iowa product. Not nearly as athletic as Van Ness, but played extremely hard and then one day figured it out.
Yep.
And was an all pro. And maybe that's what he's going to be. And maybe that's accelerated because he is a better athlete and he does play extremely hard. But right now, everything, every play he's going to make, and this is not a knock on him, it's just a fact of life, right? I'm a guard, for God's sakes. Like, I don't have any talent. But every play he makes right now is going to be off effort because he's not going to beat you on the first snap. It's just not. He doesn't have anything in his arsenal that is going to allow him to do that. But they use him in a way where, and this off, this defense is built for, you can be super effective by understanding your role, understanding your assignments, reading keys, and playing extremely hard. He's doing a great job of that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like the twists and stunts with Wyatt and LVN right now as well. Those two are working in tandem pretty well together. And when you've got something that's a little freaky like Wyatt that's coming off the edge and actually has a bizarre, like, I don't want to say bend, but like ability to kind of get around the edge a little bit as a defensive tackle. And then you've got LVN kind of crashing inside. Those two have worked pretty well in tandem. And I hope to see a little bit more of that moving forward, because I think those two with their athletic ability can be really fun in some of those twists and stunts.
Some guys like running twists and stunts more. And like, you know, especially LVN, you would think that would lend itself. Like the idea of being able to car crash into the center and rise vertically, it kind of makes sense for him, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it really does. Either way, we're seeing these guys again get a good variety of snaps. They're all playing together. And there's never a point. There'd be times in the past where, I don't want to name names, but there'd be guys, even like you said, Enigbare last year, but like your top two guys would go out of the game. And then all of a sudden you've got like edge rushers and you're just like, well, they're not getting any pass rush on this play. Right. Like they're just dead in the water before the play even starts. And right now, like name any four guys you want along that defensive front right now. And I feel like it at least is going to be serviceable at worst. And you don't feel like there's this big void of what's in there. And I think that is a huge testament to what the Packers have done from a depth standpoint and how these coaches have kind of coached them as well. But I think that the depth you feel a lot better about than you have in the past. It's fine. I asked Halfley about that in the offseason of like, how do you as a coach want to do this? Of like, is this just going to be a lot of Kenny and Rashawn and Preston Smith, and then we'll see just like sprinkling in some of these other guys, or do you want to see it in waves? And he's like, well, it almost came across more of like, yeah, we're going to see a lot of Rashawn and Preston and Kenny, but through 3 weeks, we are definitely seeing it in a little bit more in waves.
Well, you see the young guys taken to the scheme more than the old guys. I mean, it's just,
yeah, that's true.
This is what happens in football, man. Like it happens fast.
Yeah.
These guys all of a sudden pick something. It's like you see a guy and he leaves for the, you know, you see your buddy and he leaves for 4 months, he comes back and you go, what happened? You know, you're better, you know. Enigbare, I don't know if he's gained a single pound. He looks bigger to me.
Yep.
He's certainly playing more powerful and he's playing with confidence. And not that he didn't have before, but he did some stuff in this game where you're like, he's not even – like, if you're a really good pass rusher and you're on the stunt, for example, like, you're really not even thinking about the first guy. Like if you're a really good player, you're kind of thinking about, all right, what do I do after I get past the first guy? And he kind of looks that way right now.
He had a play. He was lined up on the interior over Cushenberry, who they gave a big contract to in the offseason. And he just went right by him on the inside. It was a play they blitzed on.
They brought Cooper around from the left side. Yep. They had the three man line to the left.
Yep.
They brought him around from the right. And I think Preston ended up getting the sack.
I think so too. But yeah, he went quick off the line on that one. And he had a couple of plays. He had the play in the backfield where he couldn't make the tackle on the run play early in the game.
Made the play, took a shot. Yeah.
Exactly. And then he bounces it, maybe ends up for a no yard gain or maybe a 1 yard or something, but still got right in the backfield, caused the chaos and blew the thing up. And those are the sort of things where like, it's one thing if like he makes one of those plays in a game, you're like, oh, all right. But like he had three or four, maybe even more than that in this one that really kind of made you stand up and go, okay, there's a lot more there. And hopefully that is the game that he needed to be like, okay, I can do this. And now maybe we see it with a little bit more consistency.
Yeah. And before we, I don't know if we're going to shift gears, but you know, before we talk about anything else, like this was the linebackers collectively their best performance of the year. It was the best that Quay's played, just from like technique, process, how he's processing information. You know, the defense in general, like they didn't miss tackles. Like what was the biggest difference in the game? They didn't miss tackles. Pretty simple, right? Like they were good at basic stuff, which sounds stupid, but that's what wins football games. But Quay, this is McDuffie's kind of game. He was going to have a good game. He just knew it.
Yep.
But Quay had a good game. He had a good game in just the way he saw and read things. Cooper's going to be a good player. You can tell. But those guys are like, it's really funny how you just change the mindset of, okay, hey, we're going to play really fast. Everything's downhill. We're going to penetrate. We want the, you know, we want the running back to jump cut in the backfield. We feel like we have linebackers going to run. We're going to take advantage. And it's like, it's almost like you want to ask for the last two or three seasons. Like, you had most of the same guys. What were you doing? You know, it's football's wild. Football's
wild. It is. I mean, two totally different philosophies and stuff, but there's a lot of stuff, like a lot of zone calls that are a lot of the stuff that Joe Barry was calling too. And it just looks remarkably different.
It's not the call though. It's how teach the mindset you instill in these guys. And it's, you could just tell the light switch for some of these dudes is just, it's on now.
I don't know if you saw it posted, Mike, in the off season during training camp. There was a moment during camp where Jeff Hafley came over and he coached the defensive backs right in front of the media. The defensive backs were working right along the sideline where the media was. And Hafley came over and just spent a whole section of practice, maybe 15 minutes of practice, just coaching DBs for the day. And it was awesome. And I mean, it was awesome. Like how he was coaching everything. And like even the nuance, he knew the nuance of every single one of these corners. So like they were working on press man on the mm-hmm. play. And Jair Alexander was basically like, he's saying like how he normally does it. And like, that was different than the way he was teaching. He brings Jair to the side and says, listen, your feet are different. He's like, you can do it this way. He's like, and what you're doing is basically what we're coaching, but it doesn't need this one particular step because you have this natural flow in the way that you do. He's like, you're getting to the same spot, but it's just coming with a slight different way of doing it because you have mm-hmm. the feet to do it. And he's like, the point being is like, the hands-on mentality and what he was able to coach and how he was able to relate to all these guys, but then taking it a step further and being like, you're going to be doing it slightly different because you have this skill set to do it this way. And it was just like, it was very unique to the player, not forcing, all right, no, we're all going to do it this exact way. You're getting to the same point, but you're getting there quicker because you're Jair Alexander. It was just awesome to watch. And you could just tell like the attention to detail and the flexibility he has. It was so freaking fun.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I think generally just kind of making a general statement, when you've got guys that are like all pro level or really good players, I think oftentimes people, they'll, you know, coordinators will come in and they'll look at, or even position coaches, they'll want to be a little bit more, not hands off with those guys. They want to coach them,
yeah.
But they want to acknowledge, like, okay, like I'm, you know, 57 years old. You're 25, and you're an all pro. I'm not going to tell you that I don't like your drop.
Right.
So they'll have that. They'll get that leeway because they're an all pro. But you know, having said that, you love that he goes over and he's not afraid, or he's inviting the conversation of, this is how we're going to teach this. Okay, Jack. Like I had Walter Jones, best player I've ever seen play football, right? Mike Solari comes in and he's like, he does this a lot. He's like, all right, here's the deal, guys. Walter, big Walt, I don't teach how you do things. Okay. So I'm not going to teach you to the young guys, Sean, Locklear, like Rob. We're not doing that, okay? I don't mess with perfection.
Yeah.
Enough said?
Yep.
Enough said.
The cool part of it too was, you know, it wasn't Jair Alexander saying, this is the way I do it, or what. Mm-hmm. Like, Jair was looking for guidance. Like, he wanted to do it the way that he's like, I want to do it this way. And then that was kind of the cool aspect of it too, of like, it wasn't like, no, I do it this way, I'm good. It was more of like, teach me how you want me to do it so I can do it this way. And he's like, no, you're doing it better. Don't even mess with it.
That's cool that Jair at this stage of his career and everything, you know, especially some of the stuff last year, he comes in, he wants to be coached hard. That's awesome.
It was very cool to watch. The whole scenario was cool to watch. But I want to jump to the offensive side really quick and then talk a little bit of Vikings. Just mm-hmm. I want to get your take on Tucker Kraft as a blocker. And I understand it's not, you know, going to be perfect yet, but the jump that he has taken from, you know, coming out of college to now, and how they're utilizing him as a blocker and sort of the step that he has taken.
Well, obviously, you know, the kind of built for, he's purpose built to run the position that he's running right now. It's awesome to watch. Like I had a couple highlights from the week before, he was my player of the game. And then this week, you know, you show a couple of highlights and, you know, you just start looking at it and you go, when is the last time you had a guy that could butt up the defensive end, release, beat the linebacker or the safety for a 15-yard gain, then go to the next play, go into like a reverse motion on a toss, and you know, throw the cornerback on the ground. Like, you know what I mean? We haven't had a guy that can do both those things at a high level. Bubba, Chewy. Like, I don't know when
the Bubba was the one that came to mind.
I don't think like JaMychal Finley was that kind of guy. Nope. So you know what I mean? So it's like, I was on the phone today interviewing an offensive coordinator who's been in the league for years, 40-year guy. And he was telling me, he goes, you know what I think the most important position of football is right now? He's like, if you have a really good tight end, defenses have no idea what to do with them.
It's a cheat code.
And I was like, you know, you immediately think like you're absolutely right. And Tucker Kraft is just continuing to show that his ceiling is really, really certainly higher than where he was drafted. Not that I think he was a third rounder, right?
Yep.
But he seems like a guy now that was a steal in the third round. And I love the physicality that he tries to bring. It's good, you know, you're gonna take some licks. Like poor Musgrave took a lick on that play, you know, when they brought the guy down.
Hard and key,
you're gonna take some licks at that position because you are still kind of getting out athleted. That's a word. But man, I think he's playing really well. I love his physicality. I love his approach to the game. He's just one of those, like, he's like, you're like, well, who's a Packer? You're like, that dude's a Packer, man. That's awesome.
He's a Packer, and he's one of the ones that every week when you go through on the tape, he's one you're excited to watch. And you say, all right, what did he do this week? Because there's usually going to be a couple hidden gems in there that you didn't see in real time. And you're like, all right, that's a lot of fun. And it's always fun highlighting those things. Our last one, Rashid Walker, obviously having some trouble with the penalties, 6 penalties in 3 weeks. To me, he's mostly playing well for the rest of it, but a couple penalties here and there.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, the one of them, like, some of these things you can't help yourself. So, like, he has outside leverage on an outside run. Josh Jacobs runs inside. He gets a holding call where his hands are kind of exactly where they're supposed to be. Like, those – it's almost like you don't want to call those. You're the ref. You're like, come on, man. You know, it's like I told him the show, like, we used to block up Keith Traylor. He's like 365. So, your hand – like, if he moves, it's like an iceberg. Moves all the way over here. And you get a holding call. You're like, well, you're doing exactly what you're told. You know, Rashid – feet win, hands save, right? Feet win, hands save. So you just got to continue to make sure that your feet in the right position. You're the biggest thing, especially in the run game. If you find yourself getting holding calls in the run game, it usually means that you're not pressed. Like, you're not forcing that guy to stop you from doing what you want to do. Like, you're not able to actually move the human from the spot. He's controlling you, and because he's controlling you, you're kind of at his mercy. So I think there's obviously some technical things as you look at him, you know, hip hinge position, footwork, obviously hand placement and explosiveness from the initial impact. But, you know, he's got the tools. His run game was actually kind of the most, or I should say, like, his body profile into contact was one of the most impressive things about him, I thought, last year. So I think this will come around pretty fast.
I think so too. No concerns. To me, he's going to be a really good left tackle in this league, and he'll just settle down into the season. I don't think we're going to see 2 holding penalties from Sheed every week. And I think, again, he's going to be in a very good spot long-term. Last but not least, Packers Vikings coming up, really fun matchup. What are you watching for? And what are you excited about in this one?
So unfortunately, I saw a ton of the last game. Here's the thing about it. Brian Flores, you might have the two best or most proven NFL play callers in O'Connell and Flores. I don't know. Is there a combo that's better than they are? I mean, Flores last week, like, they had a second year center and a second year quarterback, CJ Stroud and Juice Scruggs, but really good players. They were in mental pretzels all day. Yeah. Their offensive line, and you're up, you know, they were up in Minnesota, obviously, but I mean, just an absolute disaster as far as trying to understand who was coming where, what was going on. And I think Flores is the next evolution of their defense in particular, is they're able to call off and on who's going when, depending on the calls. And, you know, that was something that really, aside from Urlacher and Briggs in Chicago, like, when I was playing, nobody did. You know, if they were coming, they were coming. If they weren't, they weren't. So that adds a thing to it. But, you know, he'll walk up 8 dudes on line of scrimmage, and all 8 could be coming, or 3 of them could be coming. You have no idea. And they just do a masterful job, because they don't have world beaters on defense. I mean, if you look at their defense on paper, it's very average. Yep. Jonathan Greenard was a free agent from Houston. I've loved this guy for, I've been watching him for years. I think he's a great, great kind of what you hope Lucas Van Ness becomes, honestly, as far as went from effort, and all of a sudden playing against good players every day, turned into a hell of a good prospect. But defensively, man, they're just, they create a lot of problems. Now, can you do that with the way that LaFleur is running this offense right now? It'd be tough.
That's the fun part.
Really tough.
And going back to Greener, like, he's awesome. I love him too. I thought it was a huge signing for Minnesota. His first two sacks this week, not against offensive linemen. Like, he got him matched up against running backs and tight ends, and he went to work. Like, that's the beauty of Flores, is he is getting some of his best players schemed up on tight ends and running backs. And so I think Musgrave's going to have to be huge this week in his blocking if he's going to be out there. Tucker Kraft,
he better not be out there.
I know, like, that's the thing, right? I'm to a point, like, I'm wondering, I'm watching that game, and I'm like, I know that people are already talking about Musgrave snaps. Like, this is what I'm, if you're going two tight ends, first of all, I think they go a lot of 11. If you go two tights, I might need to be Kraft and Sims in this one a little bit more, because I think Sims can hold up better as a blocker. I thought the exact same thing, because he's going to get matchups where it's going to be Dallas Turner or Grenard or Andrew Van Ginkle on Musgrave if you put him out there. And I don't know that that's the situation that you want as an offensive coordinator. The matchup between Flores and LaFleur is just marquee, and I cannot wait to watch it.
Yeah, you make a good point about going nickel too, because, you know, clearly we feel confident that one of those guys is going to win. And, you know, obviously depending on who's playing quarterback, do you want Malik Willis to have to deal with eight people up front when you go 12 personnel? I mean, and I have absolutely no idea what the answer to that is, because I'm not in meetings with him, but you would think that you'd maintain the 11, you'd spread guys out, you could run some bunch stuff and motion in and out of it, and just get an idea of what they're doing. And that would be the effective way to attack them. But having said that, like, not a lot of teams can run 12 effectively, and the ones that can are doing pretty well in the National Football League. So if they have a package that continues to work, you know, you might as well give it a shot.
Yep. So you're thinking Willis is going to play this week, or are you know, just at 50-50, you could go either way? Where are you at?
I haven't given a second thought, Andy. I mean, I'll read the report on Sunday morning, but it's one of those things where I look at it this way. If there's a higher percentage chance that Jordan Love gets hurt coming back against this defense, or coming back because his knee's not ready, and you've already rode the lightning twice.
Yep.
You know, if you get two out of three, you feel pretty good.
Yep.
You know, with this guy, and he's played well, and the guys seem to be rallying around him. There's a real belief that on the offensive side of Green Bay I think it comes from the receiver room and maybe, you know, maybe the running back room, but I think there's just a real belief that they're better than everybody else. I think it's very cut and dry. I think they feel, I would imagine the wide receiver room is a bunch of hardworking kids, and they kind of walk around like they know they're better than everybody else. And they don't know that they're better than each other, but I think they know that they're better than everybody else.
That's a fun mentality. And I just love the way that those guys are blocking on the outside too. The touchdown that Willis had rushing, you know, Jaden Reed's out there, you know, blocking, I think it was L'Jarius Sneed, their big trade guy that they got. He's out there blocking him. And we've seen it from Watson. Melton had a couple good blocks in this one. And you can tell, you know, that if they're not blocking out there, they've got five other guys that will go in and block. And it's a beautiful competition. And I think they've got a swagger. I think they know that they're going to get open. You might be able to stop one of those guys, but they're going to rotate three, four of those guys in, five of those guys in, and good luck trying to stop all of them, because you're going to find a mismatch eventually and they're going to take advantage of it. And it is just fun to watch right now.
Yeah, it's cool. Cause, you know, it's like the Watson, the long play on, was it like play four, play six or whatever. When Watson catches the one down the sideline, you know, like, the coach is doing such a good job of making, like, that is a shot. That play was designed for him.
Yep.
If the safety doesn't get past the middle of the field, throw the football. Like, it's really simple. You know, you don't have a lot to think about. And you just like that they're scheming up so that everybody's eating right now. And I mean, given the fact that they're not going to throw the ball that much, you know, still, it's just really smart. I think when you get to a certain level of, like, play caller, you start thinking in like there's a fourth dimension or something like that, where, you know, everybody's calling off their sheet, they have their down and distance stuff, they have things they feel good about, and then you're like, no, I, you know, usually you have one or two guys you're trying to get the ball to, and he's got like four or five, and he's still doing a good job of it. So hats off to him.
A lot of mouths to feed, a lot of unselfish mouths to feed that aren't demanding the ball, and it just works out really, really
well. It's not contract year, that's why.
That's very true. We'll see how that works next year with Watson and Dobbs next year. But for now, they're all doing well, and it's really fun to watch these guys win their individual matchups and just spread the ball around throughout the offense without that. But Mike, amazing stuff as always. Tell us where we can find all of your great film breakdowns on Process to Perform or on my blog.
Yeah, check out Process to Perform. Check out a Block Party podcast on YouTube at Process to Perform. There's an audio version. Watch the video version. I mean, I break down a ton of plays. I had a fun breakdown this week. These run heavy offensive breakdowns, and then Will the Thrill quarterback on the other side. Man, these are fun breakdowns to watch. Yep. So hopefully, go check that out on our Process to Perform channel on YouTube. You have a good time. Find me at Mike168 on Twitter. Yeah,
you're going to want to get the film breakdown this week because as I was going through, Mike, I'm sure as you too, like there was a lot of really fun stuff in this one to get kind of dig into. Usually I'm going through and I'm, you know, watching these and I'm like, oh, there's a couple of cool plays. This one was just chock full of really fun stuff on both sides of the ball. So go check out Mike's film breakdown. You're not going to want to miss it. Find him on Twitter at MikeWall68. You can find me at AndyHermanNFL. That's going to do it for Mike and I today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.